Welcome to From the Outside Looking In with your hosts, Patrick Vanis and Andy Liaskos. Come on in.
Everybody, welcome back. Welcome back once again to From the Outside Looking In. Yeah, we're creeping on you. We're outside your house looking through your windows. Hey, that's a really nice coffee table you got there, bud.
Is that from IKEA?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to From the Outside Looking In. If this is your first time here, we're not actually creeping on your front yard and looking through your window. We talk about geeky culture from a non-geek perspective or non-geek culture from a geeky perspective. I don't know. We like comic books. We like sports. We like movies. We like beer. We like music. And we talk about those things. I am Andy Liaskos. With me, as always, the Mitch Hedberg to my Mitch Hedberg, Mr.
Mitch Hedberg. Psych. Patrick Bannis, what's going on?
Nothing much, bud. I felt like I kind of broke into a really bad Mitch Hedberg impersonation.
You really did.
At the beginning. Yeah. And so I was like, hey, I'm just going to throw it out. Just letting everybody know that I'm doing a bad Mitch Hedberg.
I thought you were going to I thought the intro was initially like you were Shatner outside. Someone's window.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was really hoping that was where we were going, but it's just not where we landed. So.
No. So, and that's sometimes, you know, you get up in the air, you got to do what you got to do. And that's it. Pat is pouring a beer. Looks to be maybe a victory beer. It looks like a V.
It is a victory beer. It's precipitously close to my laptop. I'm terrified. This is the.
It's not the smartest thing you've ever done. But yeah. Mighty Things Imperial IPA.
Yeah, you know, once again.
For the Empire.
We are cleaning. This is the winter cleaning out. And today felt like winter. So it's like the winter cleaning out of the beer fridge. So.
Yeah. Today is super, super cold in the Pennsylvania area. Whether you're in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, it's pretty bloody cold.
Yeah, it was tough when I skipped golf today. Not what I wanted to do, but the Brother Outlaw called me and he was like, hey, I'm in your neck of the woods. You want to have some lunch and watch like this Duquesne game? Because he went to Duquesne. So he's like, you want to watch this Duquesne basketball game? And I was like, yeah, sure, let's go. So we were like watching basketball and it was like, you know, 10-2. And I'm like, oh man, I really don't want to play golf. I'd really just like to stay here at the bar and eat nachos and watch basketball.
It is March Madness. And that's what we do. We, we pick our brackets. We don't really know what we're doing, but we just do it anyway, right? Like you just go all in on Purdue because why not?
Oh, is that what we do? Oh boy, this isn't going to end well. This isn't going to end well.
I don't know. Is it? Who'd you go all in on?
I think I have Houston and UConn in the final, and I think I have Houston winning. But I also didn't pick Duquesne to win today, so I'm like, you know, it's like that anti-Pittsburgh thing, I guess.
Okay.
But they ended up beating the 6-seed BYU. So, well.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? You kind of knew that BYU wasn't gonna make it, though.
I mean, they were a 6-seed. That's pretty. It's pretty good. But all, you know, 6-seeds got to fall. You know.
Yeah. 6-seeds do have to go down at some point, and you know why not the Mormons? I don't know.
Seriously.
Yeah. Do you have to be Mormon to go to BYU?
Yeah, we were talking about that. Like, I think you, I don't know. I don't know how that works. I think you just have to wear special underwear.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Fair enough. I do know they have, like, rules of behavior, right? Like, so, like, let's say you're not Mormon, right?
Yeah. You can't talk to girls.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, well, you can't. I'm sure you can talk to them, right? You know what I mean? But you can't, like, you know.
You have to address all the girls as mother.
It's gross.
I don't know.
That's super gross.
Or is that Mike Pence? I think that might be just Mike Pence.
Ooh, that's even grosser.
Yeah, I don't even know.
I don't think Pence isn't a Mormon. He's just from Indiana.
He's just a weirdo.
Which is like the same thing.
Yeah, it's like the same thing. It's like the Mormon. It's like the Mormons of the Midwest.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's true.
So, Pat, this is our second time attempting this show. Last time we had some technical difficulties. After a bunch of back and forth, you know, we just decided, okay, let's just scrap it. But here we are again doing the deed. So what's going on with you this week?
Oh, man. The vinyl collection is, like, rapidly expanding.
Oh, yeah?
But it's... in, like, the best way. In the last week or so, I got two Iron Maiden first pressings.
Oh, nice, nice.
I got a first press of Power Slave.
Mm-hmm, okay, very nice.
Cleaned up really well. you know, just sounds phenomenal. And then I talked a guy down on he had a first pressing, like a legit, you know, A1 B1 first press of Somewhere in Time.
Okay.
And
nice.
I was just like, oh man, I think I got it for like I got it for like less than $40, and it is amazing.
It's oh yeah, fuck yeah.
So good. Everything is like pretty much, you know, near mint, you know what I mean? Like everything looks great. Like the sleeve is great. The inner liner is great. The record is great.
Right.
And I listened to the first, side this morning, and it just sounds so good. It's like, this is what I wanted.
Yeah, I think I have a first pressing, and like. had it since the 80s, like it was in my sister's record collection.
Awesome.
Of what album is the Trooper on?
What is that one? It's either
it's Trooper's after probably number a, the
is it not it's after Peace
number,
of Mind.
It's a Peace of Mind. Yeah. After Number of the Beast, before Somewhere in Time.
Yeah, right? so it goes Maiden, Killers, Number of the Beast.
Peace of Mind.
Power Slave. Somewhere in Time. Seventh Son.
Yeah.
So, that's cool.
Yeah, that's the one with Eddie in like the padded cell.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, I have an original pressing of that. That I've just inherited down through the line. Right. Oh. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, you know, so I've been doing that. I got like four records coming from Japan. I found this guy who auctions Japanese pressings. Oh. And so I've been getting into some of those. I found Bowie's Let's Dance.
Okay, yep. Have that. Think we tried talking about that on the last one.
Yeah. Well, we talked about that from that was in a different auction house. This is just like singular albums and not lots. So this was just
right.
I got that one, and I got an early press of like Pink Floyd's Relics, which is kind of a compilation anyway. But it's got a lot of it's like, you know, Interstellar Overdrive and some of that really early like late 60s stuff. So
The Sid Barrett era.
So I picked up some of those. I forget what the other ones. I got two other ones, and I can't remember what they are. So. Hopefully, I don't know what they are, but so, you know, spending a little money, not much, honestly. I mean, I think the Somewhere in Time was $40.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's a great.
I picked up a early pressing of Hunky Dory for like $40. I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I've seen an early press of Aladdin Sane, but the guy wants like $100 for it. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's
it's a bit much.
Aladdin Sane and like Ziggy Stardust go for like a ton.
Yeah, they are pretty popular.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ziggy Stardust, unbelievable album. There's so many good songs on there. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, Aladdin Sane was not as good. Like, you know, as far as like you know, great. So Gene Genie, but
yeah, Gene Genie's on there. What else is on there? Suffragette City on there?
No. His Let's Spend the Night Together cover.
Yeah.
Panic in Detroit, you know, it's cracked actor. Yeah, they're okay, you know. Not as good, but yeah, I mean, still. So you know, I'm still looking at that original that first Iron Maiden album, still trying to track that down. I've got a short list of like albums that are some of my favorite albums that I would want to hear on vinyl.
Right.
You know? It's like a guilty pleasure, but the first Coldplay album.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's fine. I was just thinking about like guilty pleasure wise, like literally as we're having this conversation, I was like, I would really like Motley Crue Theater of Pain on, but that's a great album, yeah. Man. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
Home Sweet Home, that. Smoking in the Boys' Room. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just a good album.
Yeah. So there's good stuff. So I was, you know, like just like sound wise, that first Coldplay album was just so good.
Oh, yeah. That's the one with Yellow on it. Yeah. That's a good album.
Yeah, great album.
That's a good album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've just gone consistently downhill since there, you know?
No, for sure. Yeah. I recently started listening to Snow Patrol again.
Oh, wow.
Because there was some weird cover of one of their songs in a commercial for like a movie or something. And I was like, oh, that's a great cover. I was like, oh, that's Snow Patrol. That's that band from Ireland that I used to really, really like.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. I have no idea whatever happened to them. And I was like, I'm going to listen to them again. So I did that this week.
Not bad.
You know what I was just, I was just thinking, you know how we, used to haven't really done so lately, and we probably should do it again. You know, going to comic book shows, right?
I know.
We should go to a record show.
Oh God!
Yeah, right. Think of the danger.
That's
fucking danger.
Just far more danger than a comic book show. But yeah, I mean, I would love to. There was a local one up here a little while back that I missed. It was on like a Saturday morning and I missed it, but it's like, it's sometimes it's good that I'd miss those.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's like, I mean, I could always go to like the punk rock flea market. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Those are always good, you know, for like records and stuff like that, you know,
but. Oh my God. Punk rock flea market is like 86% vinyl, 13%, you know, 70s clothes.
Yeah, right, exactly.
1% yep. Other tchotchkes.
Yep, 100, so many tchotchkes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would love to do that. I would love to check out a like a smallish, well, like a medium-ish record show.
Yeah, I think it would be kind of cool to do that. You know what I mean? It would be expensive. Yeah, it'd be dangerous.
It could be expensive.
It could be. It could be expensive.
Yeah, could be expensive. Yeah. But also, like, there are, you know, like, if you have all your resources in place, you can kind of like, you know, figure out what the, you know, generally what the prices could or should be for some albums that you're looking for. Like I have a kind of set list of like kind of what I'd like to pick up.
For sure.
You know, so.
And what's nice is like, it's just another thing to geek out on. You know what I mean?
It's like collecting vinyl.
It really is. But I haven't, you know, like to be honest, I have not bought, you know, I have not pulled a run of comics since like before COVID, right? So I've just been maybe targeting a few key back issues and then buying like omnibuses here and there if I want them. You know what I mean?
I haven't really been into anything lately.
Yeah, the motivation to hunt down like single issues and stuff like that has really just left, you know? Maybe one day it'll come back again. But
it got worse after like one of my local comic shops moved. They like abandoned half of the shop, and it's there's so like there's games and novels, but there's no comics anymore. And I don't know where they went, and I'm too lazy to find out. So I haven't really been into it as much. I have a lot of stuff here that like I need to finish runs of.
Right.
You know, but I haven't really wanted to spend that kind of, you know, just kind of digging and spend that kind of money. So it's just, you know.
I think it's part of it is having that local shop experience, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, nothing to disparage against, like, Uncanny or anything, but, like, you got to go to the mall, and that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean?
And then there's Showcase out in Villanova, which is a great store area, right? That store is great. It's just, yeah, then now you're talking about going 35 minutes. You know what I mean? It's just, if I had something in the neighborhood, I'd probably pop in there a couple times a month. You know?
Chester County, get it together.
Yeah, for real.
Let's go. There's a bunch of comic book shops out here, but they're all over the place. So, like, I liked having one that was like a short drive up the hill to go see. But now, like, I have a closer, like, record shop.
Right.
So it's, you know, like, I walked over there like 2 weeks ago. I think it was like 2 weeks ago. My buddy was playing, his band was playing. Shouts to Gold Dust Rush.
Yep.
First gig debut. So I went over there early, and it's like I just walked. I walked through the park, through a couple of blocks of neighborhood, and then went right into the my record shop, Government Center.
Yeah,
and was digging through vinyl. It's like, you know, it's right there. It's so easy.
Yeah, like what else do you want? You know what I mean? Like that's make life easy. That's my goal.
Yeah,
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, man. I'm going through the motions at this point. Yeah, I'm just out here saying words for the people. That's what
right.
I do. I guess.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Just yeah, little tidbits from Andy. That's true. We do not need to bring ink and paper into this.
That's better.
Yeah,
you're getting
that's
there.
A good Mitch Hedberg right there. Yeah.
I feel like by the end, you're really going to have it locked in.
Yeah. I used to be in a death metal band. Death metal bands have intense names like Obituary, Rigor Mortis. We weren't that intense. We were just injured. Later, we changed our name to Acapella as we were leaving the pawn shop.
That's it. Classic.
Yeah, that's good. It's good stuff.
The kids these days, they'll never know.
They'll never know the brilliance of Mitch Hedberg.
I know. Oh man. Jeez. Why aren't there like little what do they call them now? Vines. Little Tic Tacs. Why aren't there little Mitch Hedberg Tic Tacs out there?
Probably because he's dead, right?
Yeah. Well, that too, but, you know, yeah. That'd be a good way to reintroduce him to people, you know?
I mean, he still comes across my, like, my Instagram feed every once in a while, but, you know, it's a very curated feed that, you know, feeds me Mitch Hedberg and Norm MacDonald stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine feeds me soccer and cat videos.
Yeah, see, I get a lot of hockey videos,
okay.
A lot of hockey related comedy, right? A lot of dog videos.
There you go.
Mitch Hedberg, Norm MacDonald, and just other random fucking goofy shit that just comes across. So I guess we should get on target here for a little bit. Have you watched or there was a 2-episode premiere this week of X-Men 97?
Oh, I have not seen that. I was looking for it and then I didn't see it and then I watched some Shogun instead.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm still trying to get kind of all the way caught up, but I knew it was coming. And then I wasn't looking for it, but they had already like the new hot story was that Marvel had fired that guy, the showrunner. I don't know, I don't know who it was, but whoever the guy was that did X-Men 97, he got fired by Marvel for, I'm not sure what. It was very sketchy.
Hmm.
Right.
But I haven't watched it yet. I have heard that it is very like, you know, like, I don't know, tolerant. Right. Which, yeah, like, I guess
mean?
That's kind of what. I mean, like, yeah, you know, like there's, you know, from the people being upset, right, online is, you know, there might be some like bisexual energy to one of the characters or something. I have not watched it yet. Yeah, I mean,
what?
But like, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, and then like, but I think about it, like the X-Men was based on like racism and tolerance,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, like that's what the whole
that's the whole
point of the comic. Yeah. That's the whole fucking point of the comic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, not that civil rights and racism don't exist in our world today, but obviously we have like, you know, sexual orientation inequalities and stuff like that. So, I mean, it kind of lends itself perfectly to that X-Men mutant outsider, you know, bigotry kind of story. And obviously, the, you know, people are up in arms. But, you know, as we were discussing with Sweet Lou, you know, people are already up in arms because of a 45-second trailer of The Acolyte, and the director or something is a woman, and maybe she likes other women. I don't understand why the fuck people get upset. I just don't get it.
Well, you know, and I brought this up, so it's, you know, I brought this up in our chat thread, so it's definitely going to be my fault. But I think that the internet now has created this very, like, rage bait heavy echo chamber or feedback loop where, like, sure, you're gonna get, like, if you want to get engagement or if you want to get, you know, internet famous, just be mad at stuff. And so everybody's mad at stuff. So there's like a 45 second trailer for The Acolyte that is the new Star Wars,
which looked badass. It looked absolutely fantastic.
Right.
It's the new, yeah, it's new Star Wars, end of the High Republic era, right? Fucking Trinity from The Matrix in it as a Jedi. That's pretty sweet. You know what I mean? Some sweet kung fu going on in there, you know.
There is like very good. There's very little to this. It is, I mean, they've said, you know, the plot is that, like, it follows a Jedi investigation into a series of crimes that kind of leads them to see like an even darker menace, not a Phantom Menace, but just, you know what I mean,
right.
This has, you know, Carrie Ann Moss is in it, awesome. There's a bunch of other characters in it. You just see like 45 seconds of really just a lot of like Jedi fighting.
A shit ton of the most lightsabers I've seen since fucking Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
there's Jedi fighting. There is what looks to be like kind of human or maybe Sith-ish assassins. We don't know because it's just a trailer.
Right. They have, and they use like knives and stuff, which is sick. It's
pretty
sick. Yeah. I mean, it looked really cool.
So,
yeah,
but, I mean, but the internet, like, the internet blew up and everyone's got to have a bad opinion over a 45 second trailer. Oh, this is going to be terrible. This is a, here, let me get you a quote. Cause I just, The Acolyte, the message is strong with this one. It's a 45 second trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, there is zero message.
Let's distill this down. I saw some ladies and people of color, and it made me feel bad.
Yeah.
This is going to be bad. And, oh, no, there's also an Asian Jedi or whatever. This is not cool.
Yeah,
like, that's
literally, that was it. Yeah, I mean?
Yeah.
And it infuriates me to no end, right? Yeah, because like, then I have to wind up liking stuff that isn't good just to support it. You know what I mean? Just because people are fucking idiots.
I can't wait to see this because I have to look at a couple of these reviews. A lot of what I've heard is like just people complaining because they're like, oh, I really want to have like Jedi stories. And like, why can't this just be Jedi stories? I'm like, dude, you're watching a 45 second trailer. Wait until you see the trans person in this show, which they won't recognize because they're all idiots. But there is there's an internet famous trans person in a trans woman in this show, which is,
well, don't let that slip.
Don't tell anybody, guys. All 11 of you,
keep that between yourselves. Don't let anybody know.
Don't tell
Lou. Don't you fucking dare get on the Twitters or the Xers. What is that called now? Because you can't call it Twitter. It's just X. So what do you send? X's? You don't send tweets anymore.
Are they? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I've got no clue. Yeah. I don't know what they call this stuff now.
Yeah, just Well,
this is what happens when you. This is what happens when you change the name and ruin everything. No one knows what to call it. They still call it. You know what? People just still call it tweets. Nobody cares what he. You know, nobody cares what Elon Musk wants. Nobody cares.
Yeah. No. No. For sure. I mean, we just all need to just come to terms and like we as a culture, we have chosen wrong. MySpace was always
the superior choice.
It was always the superior choice. I don't care what anybody says. MySpace was fire.
You know what?
And we fucked it.
Look at all these social media platforms. Go to your Twitter thing, whatever your Twitter homepage. I don't know because I don't have it. Go to your like Instagram. Look at your Instagram profile. Does music automatically play? No. Yeah. MySpace, what are they like? Was this like a trademark thing? You can't do it because only MySpace could do it. But when you went to my profile on MySpace, you heard music. And it was for dope. Sure.
It was fire. And then you could have your top friends, right? Yep. So everybody knew, like these were this is my fucking crew. Fuck all the rest of you. You know what I mean? Like, it was just,
you guys need to step your game up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're in my bottom five. Zuckerberg, you need to get in my top five.
Yeah, Zuckerberg never sends me a friend request. Tom was always there from the start. From the start, yeah. Tom was my boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I thought there was a lot of action in the trailer. Like, you know how
it looked great.
Andor is and was very like espionage heavy, which also super cool. I'm a big fan of that. Very cool.
Great story. Great acting. So little dry on the action. Yeah.
This is very like Jedi heavy. This is like Jedi doing investigatory stuff. Just like if you watch like, I don't know, anything in the Clone Wars or whatever, where like Obi-Wan and like, Anakin are just going around investigating stuff. It's
Jedi noir, and I'm in for it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I'm excited. Anyways,
yeah, I am too. I think it's going to be fire. But why don't we go from talking about what is to come and what has already been and talk about movies, books, comics, and stuff, graphic novels,
eight-track players.
We've been talking about all this shit since the beginning, about waka 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 waka. All right. So anyways, we're.
All right.
So speaking about Marvel, let's talk about the Marvels.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
That was fresh and witty.
Yes, that's what I bring to the table, everyone. Fresh and witty. That's why they call them big old witty.
Big old witties. He got them big old witties right there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So the Marvels came out a little bit ago. Yeah. We've been behind on some of this movie content just because we haven't really been going to the theater anymore for whatever reason.
It's lost its luster. It's expensive unless you go in the early afternoon.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, you got to find that discount night like Tuesday.
Yeah, I know. But I also feel like Marvel doesn't deserve my money in the theater. You know what I mean?
Well, if it's something I want, Deadpool. It's going to get my money.
Deadpool's going to get my money for sure.
The stuff that's been out in theaters lately, like the Marvels or the Flash, which we'll get to, another episode. A lot of this stuff, the new Aquaman, Lost Kingdom.
Yeah.
Like none of this stuff has had any kind of buzz. And so it's not worth it if I can just wait a little bit and it'll be on streaming and I can just watch it at home. Well, then I'm just going to do that. And that's what we did here.
Yeah, exactly. So the Marvels picks up kind of from the end of the Miss Marvel series featuring Kamala Khan. Right. And right at the end of it, like Kamala Khan disappears and Miss Marvel comes out of her closet. And that's sort of like kind of the first scene in the movie.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. So, you know, it is a
Carol Danvers Miss Marvel.
Carol Danvers Captain Marvel. It is a confusing and sometimes funny, but also thankfully short. Space romp.
It is, right. So
the gist of this revolves around the bangle
that Kamala Khan has,
aka the quantum bands. So apparently, I'm gonna butcher this because I got to remember this character's name. one of Dar Ben, who is like one of the Kree. So like at some point, Captain Marvel had a fight with the Kree AI consciousness, whatever, and defeated it. And it kind of laid waste to like the Kree planet. So they've been trying to like A, get revenge, and B, find a place to live. And I guess Dar Ben goes on this mission to find this quantum band because they think that it can do something. I don't know what. This is the confusing part of the movie because the quantum band tends to, it apparently like connects Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel, and Monica Rambeau's photon together. But
yeah, it somehow connects light powers,
but it's I don't understand,
there could have been a scientific explanation, like a, you know, air quote scientific right. explanation of but this, but I don't remember
they it, also and it didn't used make any it sense. To they were also using it to create warp portals, so that what they wanted to do was, you know, part of the revenge was to use these warp portals to go to other planets and steal their resources. So that,
yeah, because the Kree homeworld, after Captain Marvel had defeated the Supreme Intelligence, or whatever it was left in disarray and no sun and fucking oxygen's dying and the whole Kree homeworld is dying, right? And so what they decide to do is they get this special bracelet, right? The quantum bangle, the quantum.
Just call it the quantum bangle. I love that.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, whatever. And like they make, you know, fucking space teleport holes. And then there's, you know what it is? It's the fucking plot from Spaceballs. They fucking
is that good.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, it basically is. Except for they don't have a spaceship that turns into a robot maid with a vacuum that sucks the air out of planet. Yeah, they don't have Mega Maid sucking the air out of planet Druidia to bring it to planet Spaceball.
They're kind of trying to suck the water out of it.
But it's the same thing. It's the same fucking thing. It's fucking Mega Maid stealing the water from planet Druidia, right? And then bringing it to planet Spaceball. Yeah. So they're, yeah. But for some reason, the Skrull, who are also homeless, the Kree don't like them, and so fuck them too. I don't know what that issue was, right? Like, but there was that.
Well, the Kree and the Skrulls have, like,
they've always been enemies,
historically,
right?
Like, been enemies, yeah. But, like, yeah. I think, I don't know what planet, were they on Earth? Because
they were on some sort of refugee planet.
Okay. Because, like, there were Skrulls on Earth during Secret Invasion, because they were all looking for a home, but then there was also like this refugee planet there. So it gets kind of confusing. Maybe it's because I've been drinking. I don't know. But
I don't know. I mean, the whole movie is slightly confusing, right?
Yeah.
Because there was like 1,000 Skrulls on that planet, right?
Yeah, not
and
many.
Then yeah. But right, but then the what's your face from the Kree Empire is there. She's negotiating like a treaty where they like kind of, you know, kowtow to her or whatever, for whatever reason. I don't know what the reason is, right?
Right.
And so, and then due to Monica Rambeau, Kamala Khan, and Captain Marvel, like for some reason they get to the Skrull planet, right? Oh, because one of the space holes is somewhere and they touch it and it takes them there, right?
Right.
And then every time they use their light powers, they all keep on switching. So, like, Captain Marvel will be fighting Kree, and then she'll do, like, a really powerful blast, and then she'll switch places with Kamala Khan.
Yeah.
Right? And then so this is all going on, and whenever they use their powers, they switch. Blah, 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 blah.
I mean,
right?
it creates fun moments, and I appreciate that. And I think that they use these fun moments and a lot of the fun dialogue between these characters to kind of like carry this. And then some of the nonsensical stuff, like when, you know, like Carol has to go to like see her husband, Prince Jan, and then they have to sing to each other because that's how they communicate on this planet, whatever.
Right.
You know, it covers up a lot of the weird plot. And then also, you know, the continuation of Monica Rambeau being written as one of the dumbest characters in the Marvel universe.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
So
yeah,
like we, you know, we go from Monica Rambeau in WandaVision when she originally gets her powers, and she gives us one of the dumbest quotes of all time. When at the end of the show, at the end of the series, when Wanda finally like kinds of, you know, fights with Agatha Harkness and releases the entire town in New Jersey that she had kind of enslaved, not enslaved, but you know what I mean, kind of enslaved, so that sure, she yeah. could, you know, kind of live out her like her grief fantasy, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that she didn't have to deal with Vision being dead. Is right, basically,
like in, her
yeah,
inability yeah. to cope with Vision's death and all of that grief led her to like create this kind of fantasy world in this town where she literally like took over this town, created some children that she that you know this these children that she didn't have all yep. of a sudden had with this robot right. who wasn't even really there anymore. Yeah. And at the end of all of this, Monica like tells Wanda like the people of this town. They'll never know what you went through for them, which was the dumbest line. Like,
yeah,
this is part of the heel turn that gets Wanda to that kind of evil character that we see in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Right.
So you're not supposed to be like, I'm not supposed to be sympathizing with her by the end of this. You're creating a heel turn here. And so she says incredibly dumb thing. And then we get into like the Marvels, and she meets Carol Danvers for the first time in like 20 years. And she's big mad at Carol Danvers because, you know, when Monica's mom was dying of cancer, I guess Carol told a 7-year-old child that she would be back and then never came back. And this child held this grudge against this person who was her mother's friend for her entire life and then continued to hold it for like half of this movie.
Right. Yeah.
Why are you doing this? Why do I have to suffer through such poorly written characters? Like, I don't get it. It's so dumb.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Right. So like, so what we've confirmed is so far, right, like really the plot centers around the Spaceballs air stealing thing, right?
Right.
And then the tension, the initial tension between Amelia Pond and the 11th Doctor,
right,
when he first meets her as a child, yeah, but then comes back, you know, 17 years later.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
It's like it's the exact
same thing. We've stolen all those plot beats.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we'll pick a little bit from Doctor Who, we'll pick a little bit from fucking Spaceballs for some reason, and we'll make some sort of movie, right? Yeah. We don't really, and that's the thing with this movie. I don't really know what it's about. Even after, like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I guess I kind of get it, but, you know, like, I don't understand, like, A, how the Kree knew these bangles existed, right? What they really do to begin with, and how they knew that they were going to be able to make space holes to suck air and water out from other planets and fix their sun.
Right.
I have no fucking clue what any of this is, yeah, right? Where it seems like they could have just found another planet.
Right.
Right? Like, they could have, you know what I mean? Like,
there's
they could have
so
just
many
fucking
planets out there.
And even if it was like terraforming exists in the fucking Marvel universe. They could have done that. You know what I mean?
Terraforming almost always exists for evil. Like, we always want to turn like a nutrient rich planet into some third world hellhole. Like, it's just like in Man of Steel, where like, we're going to terraform Earth so that Kryptonians can live there. But it's like, if you took your helmet and spacesuit off, you would be like super powerful because of the yellow sun. So,
right,
you could live anywhere.
Yeah. So like, so there's a lot of just nonsensical plot points and things that are just not written well. But on the flip side, outside of Monica Rambeau, right? Like outside of Captain Rambeau, right? Camilla Khan, that actually, she always crushes it. She's a joy to watch. She's just really fucking good.
There is, you like, I mean? So every time I see a picture of Iman Vellani, she's like just so happy.
Yeah.
And it just and comes out infectious. In everything.
Yes. Yeah. It's infectious. Like, she is such a fun character to watch. I felt like Ms. Marvel was a much better written show. You know what I mean? Like, than this movie was. Like, I really enjoyed the Ms. Marvel series.
Yeah.
Right. But like even in this, I was like, oh, she's just a joy to watch. Brie Larson was actually really good in this. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like for the most part. You know what I mean? Like I feel like she was better in this acting wise than in the Captain Marvel movie.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. There's it's, you know, like she kind of does, like, I don't know. She's kind of in this like angsty, like intergalactic cop shell.
Yeah,
and it kind of takes like this little bit of family and this little bit of youthful exuberance to kind of like drag her out. And then they go to the planet where they talk to her, you know, betrothed husband or whatever, and they have to do the dance thing and sing and stuff, even though she's probably wearing she looks like she's wearing like street clothes. Like, couldn't you have, I don't know. But anyway, you know, like, so like they kind of pull her out of that a little bit, like, you know. But she's also like that. I mean, that is kind of Captain Marvel. She is a very like stoic kind of character anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Absolutely.
So they kind of like go through all this. They figure out how to like there's a fun like training montage set to the Beastie Boys Intergalactic, where they're like training to like how this is how we're going to fight Darben.
And we're going to zip, zip, zap, zip. Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, I'm going to use my power, hit her with the big fist, and then you're going to zap in there and you're going to fucking, you know, Rambo, you're going to ghost through her and go woogity, woogity, woogity. And when you ghost through, then Carol Danvers are going to come double power fist, then Camilla Khan's back, leap, leap, leap. Yeah, so they do all this, right?
So I don't know. So then they get into if they have a fight with Darben. Now, I don't know if this is the general Darben that has been like that's been gender swapped for this role, the general Darben who is in like, I don't know, a couple of like an Avengers story arc in the 80s, knows? Let's say, you know what I mean, or if this is like supposed to be like a specific character who was like a child of like, I thought it was like Ronan the Accuser, but I couldn't tell. I don't, you know, I don't.
Yeah, I felt like that was like there was definitely Ronan the Accuser type things going on.
Well, she was carrying that like hammer of his.
Hammer thing. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. But there's really no other than that, no tie in. Right. You know, so again, a lot of just like here's cool looking things that we took from other things. And then we took Spaceballs and we took Doctor Who. And, you know, we kind of put all that in.
Yeah.
And then we made a really cool fighting team, kind of a la Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There's a lot of borrowing in this film.
Oh, yeah.
Now that I think about it, you know, I mean, it's just like, it's really, it's they took just a bunch of shit that's kind of cool and like threw it against the wall and whatever stuck was like, yeah, let's just do that. Yeah.
So and at the end of this, they like, there's more fighting. Darben gets both the quantum bands, and to just be like a dick, instead of creating these like these warp points or these jump points, she creates like a multiversal wormhole. But it's just it takes a lot to do that. So that, you know, this is like a kind of typical trope where it's like it takes too much power to do this. So they just die while doing this thing. And then Monica Rambeau has to go out and try. She goes out to try to fix the wormhole. I think they were all going to try to fix it. I think Captain Marvel was going to try to fix it, too. But I forget what happened at the end that she couldn't do it or if they got swapped or something. But Monica Rambeau ends up like fixing this multiversal wormhole, but in the process gets trapped on the other side. And so this is kind of how we end. Like, we don't really get to like kind of a full ending, I guess, like.
We don't get a resolution of what's happening with her, right? Like,
we kind of do, like, in the Easter eggs at the end. But like, at the very end of the movie, I thought it was they were moving Captain Marvel into this old farmhouse that...
Yep.
I think
which makes perfect sense.
I think it was the one that Monica Rambeau lived in when they were a kid, maybe?
Yeah.
Right. And, like, Kamala Khan's family was helping her do that, and I think they like sat in this ship for a minute. I don't think they went anywhere. I don't recall exactly, but then there were two cutscenes. There were two Easter eggs at the end. One where we see the multiverse that Monica Rambeau landed in, and then a second one where we see Kamala Khan with Nick Fury's iPad.
Yeah.
Putting together the Young Avengers.
Yeah.
Or at least starting to, let's say.
Yeah. Which is kind of sick, because I would watch a Young Avengers movie with Ms. Marvel in it. Like, why not?
If they can figure out how to get to it, right? Like, I don't know who all is going to be in that group, right? So, like, some of the original characters that were in that group was, like, I think Scar, who was, like, Hulk's son, was in that group, maybe. Miles Morales was in that group. A young version of Nova was in group. One or both of the Maximoff sons, Wanda's sons, were in it. One of them was like a speedster, like a Quicksilver, and then
like
the other
Quicksilver,
one,
yeah, right.
And then the other one, what did he do? Did he do magic? I can't remember exactly. But that character apparently is like way too powerful. So I don't know if they're going to have him in or not. But anyways, so it starts off with her and the young Hawkeye. What's her name?
Oh, yeah, I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Come on. I need this.
Yep. Nah. I don't remember. Yeah. The Olympic Archer. Whatever her name
the
was.
The Olympic Archer. I don't know. All right. Well, I don't know. We'll figure it out. I don't know. Not terrible. Not great.
I mean, there's a ton of plot holes in the movie, right?
Like, yeah.
Some of the dialogue's not great. I have no idea what's really going on half the time, right? But a lot of fun scenes. Yeah, I mean, some of the acting was pretty good. It was enjoyable to watch. And it was like an hour and 33 minutes, right? Like, it was like 94 minutes, something like that, right? It was is one of the shortest movies Marvel ever made. So that, for me, makes it the best MCU picture released in the last 3.5 years. Like, easily. You know what I mean? Because normally you get a lot of disjointed plots, and it takes 5 hours and 47 minutes to get through it all.
Yeah.
This was a nice hour and a half, even though I split it up in two chunks, because at one point I got really frustrated with it. I was like, oh my God, it was like some long diatribe. And I was like, I'm done with this tonight. But then I went back and I finished it. I was like, you know what? This wasn't that bad. So yeah, I mean, I'm obviously being flippant about like, it's the best MCU movie ever. But
the best.
It's not terrible. It's not terrible.
So I just noticed this, and this is like the wildest thing. The best part of this movie that we like continuously like heap praise on is Iman Vellani, who's Kamala Khan.
Yeah, Ms. Marvel. Kamala Khan. Give her her own movie.
This is her first acting role.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
It's crazy. No, I didn't. And that is crazy. She's so good.
She has no other credits that I can see other than the Marvels or Miss Marvel and the Marvels. So like you just get the feeling like she's like just soaking that in. And I think you just see that in her like exude, like how she performs. She's like, I'm a kid. This is like the first thing that I've ever done, really. It's, you know, I'm not going to say successful, but her own show was successful. This movie, not even close. But, you know, she has a character that's going to be around. Clearly, they're doing like Easter eggs where she's building her own team. So,
yeah. Yeah. And she's a joy to watch. She's just really fun. And, you know, like I feel like her personality comes through in what she does. So, like, it's. Yeah, that she is the shining moment of that movie for sure.
So the writing, the pros, you know, like that is a pro. getting us helping to segue us to getting done with this multiversal stuff is probably going to be a pro.
Yeah.
Getting to a young Avengers movie where we kind of take some of these younger characters and kind of put them into smaller stakes stuff that is more built for them is a pro. Some of the cons, the three-person writing team, Nia DaCosta, Megan McDonnell, and Alyssa Karasik, three people were responsible for this hour and 45-minute just mess.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what they've done in the past. I don't know anything about any of them, so I don't know what they've done. But, like, maybe you need to have somebody, like, holding hands a little bit. Like, maybe have, like, you know, like, Kevin Feige gets producer credits. He's probably not even near this, right? Nia DaCosta was a writer and the director. Who else is kind of holding the hand? Like, where is, a content person who's, like, you know, if you're going to explain this, let's figure out how to explain this. Right.
If every time they use their powers, they disappear. Let's explain why that happens. Right.
I just don't feel like I got that.
No, for sure. They figured out how to use it to their benefit.
Yeah.
Right. But at no point do we really understand, like, why. And it's not even all their powers. It's like if they use, like, certain aspects of their powers, like, then they disappear and then they reappear, you know. And so it really doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
After the writers use the best movie trope available, my favorite movie trope, the training montage.
Yeah, for sure.
They get it together. They do the business. They save the universe, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I guess. I don't know what becomes of the Kree after this, because, like, Dar-Ben, like, basically disintegrates trying to use this power to open up a multiversal wormhole. So I don't know what happens to the Kree. Do they just kind of be like, all right, cool. Well, this is all her idea. We're cool. We're just going to go back to wherever we were on a dying planet. I don't really know. I needed a little bit more resolution on that. So
I just realized when she used both the bands, that made Mega Maid go from suck to blow.
Yeah. So then what happens?
She's gone from suck to blow.
So, and this is going to be another thing that we'll have to, like, you know, we'll have to, like, see fleshed out later, but.
I just want to see Spaceballs.
Does Kamala Khan now have both the bangles? Does she have both the quantum bangles?
Yeah, and does that make her twice as powerful? I don't
correct.
Know.
Like, does you
know,
that, like, yes, that's
yeah,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, yeah, right. Does she get, like, I don't know. I have no idea.
Like, if you can use those quantum bangles to open up, like, a multiversal wormhole to some degree.
Yeah, you would feel like that's super powerful, right?
Like, that's pretty... omnipotent, like, not omnipotent, but it's pretty powerful. So, like, she's gotta level up at some point, right? I don't know, because we won't find that out. I don't know. So it was a bit of a struggle. I think that they need to have somebody on the Marvel side who has some experience with this stuff, who's, like, just saying, hey, we've got to tie these things together. Like, you know, you know, like, Stan Lee used to write a little box in the bottom of the picture window that says asterisk C issue 145. So you can tie back what is going on. They need some of that so that we can, like, kind of figure out what's going on. And then, you know, this is hopefully the final chapter of the MCU dropping the ball on the Kree Skrull everything.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's really, really bad.
Secret Invasion was the Titanic stinker that we all knew it was going to be, because they didn't do anything right with it. You know, why they need to work with, like, the Star Wars people. Like, Star Wars does, like Andor, and so they do good espionage stuff. Like,
right.
I would love to see some, like, Nick Fury and Black Widow and Hawkeye and espionage stuff. Let's do the espionage stuff. You don't need to have, like, you know, rough old looking Nick Fury doing Secret Invasion. And now you've totally ruined Secret Invasion, which was a great comic storyline.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. Right. But It's, yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see where Marvel goes from here. It's been pretty disappointed, you know, but Kamala Khan has been a fantastic addition to the MCU, in my opinion. I'm looking forward to watching X-Men 97 just for the fun of it.
Well, I think we do have a couple of fun things coming up that for us to like review, right? Like, well, we have the Flash, which we'll suffer through. But then there's like, you know, we'll get through some Bad Batch, and we'll do a little X-Men 97 and
X-Men 97.
Shogun. I think when we get
should,
to it,
we should definitely we should definitely review Shogun. That may be the best fucking TV. It is definitely 100% without doubt the best show on television right now.
Yeah,
and it is in the running for, you know, like. You know, again, this is, we're talking about one season, but I mean, it could be in the running for, you know, one of the greatest series of all time. It's basically Japanese Game of Thrones right now, and I'm pretty oh,
yeah.
in on it.
Yeah, you know? I you know, I think, unfortunately, but fortunately, the subtitles make you have to really pay attention, which is a good thing, because when you pay attention, you're seeing so much, just like the costumes, the visuals, like all this stuff is really, really accurately, like really cool.
Right.
So.
And like wish Tom Hardy, like I'm all in on that dude. I don't know.
Great
who
value
that dude
Tom
is.
Hardy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's fantastic, man. He's
I'm
really,
John
really
Blackthorn.
Good.
Thought I'm English.
Yeah. Right. Right, exactly. That dude is fucking legit. The engine. Whatever that dude's name is, he's fucking legit.
I'm
all in on that.
Marvels. Where'd you land on that? I mean, I'm like a 4. I'm like a 3 or 4. I'm not really super excited. I was not happy.
Oh, no, I'm higher than that. Like I said, Kamala Khan was definitely fun to watch. It's short, which makes it good. I'm 5.562, somewhere around, you know what I mean? Like, it's not bad. There's worse things in the MCU you could watch, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, we can talk about Echo at another time, too. I'm not like...
I haven't watched that yet.
I you know what? I don't think it's not bad. I don't think it's bad. I think if they tied into other street level stuff the way that they could, I could be a good character. Could be a really good character. I think they kind of went to this other level, but we'll see what happens. I think it's worth it's you know, it's only 6 episodes, so it's worth a watch. You know, and obviously you're going to want to see it anyway, just to see where Kingpin ends up, right? Because he's going to be a big part of the next phase.
Yeah. I will get into that at some point for sure. We got, you know, it's getting towards the end of March here. We got stuff coming out in June. You know, we got fucking The Acolyte and what else? Maybe The Boys season 4 is coming out sometime soon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then you got House of the Dragon season 2 is coming out sometime soon. So there's a lot of stuff coming. Should be pretty good.
Okay. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. I recently rewatched House of the Dragon just to get ready for House of the Dragon season 2. And I, upon second watch, I really liked it a lot more. Then, all the time skipping wasn't as annoying as it was on the first time through. So I recommend giving House of the Dragon a second watch, especially if you were annoyed with, like, why is this episode 10 years later than the last episode? Like, it's very much less annoying, right?
Right.
So, but anyway, that's all the time we got for today. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for helping Megan Maid go from blow to suck, or suck to blow, right, and saving Planet Druidia. Oh, the one thing I was going to say about the Kree leader, General whatever her face
Garben
was, right, is General Garben. It was funny. She doesn't look Druish.
Jesus.